been waiting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
So Seth Rogen, the actor, as opposed to Seth Rogen, the dentist, is the voice of mass transit in Canada. And, you know, he's the voice that you hear on the subway in Toronto and Vancouver. And he was on Fallon's show last night and talked about how they asked him to record a message that asked people not to clip their toenails on the subway. You wouldn't think, and Seth obviously didn't think either, that that would be something that happens enough to warrant him having to actually record a message that runs on some sort of loop within the Canadian subway system.
I'll give announcements to help keep, I take public transportation, as I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers do, and people do appalling things on there. They're, because they gave me the list, they're like, this is the stuff that people complain about the most. And one was people clipping their nails, toenails, on subways. And I recorded a message to stop this behavior. Enough people do this that it requires a message? And they were like, yes!
What?
100% yes. It's not the place. That and is- there's also, yeah, it's a horrifying thing. So if I stop one person from doing that, it was worth the time and energy it took.
By the way, Chelsea, you mentioned that you thought, well, that's strange, because then everybody has to take off their boots and their woolen socks. Yeah. Jonathan was quick to point out on Facebook, it doesn't snow year-round in Canada, Chelsea.
I know that, but
it gets into the 80s and 90s during the summer.
Right, but how long does that last?
You don't think they take their boots off for it? It happens so quickly.
I do. I know that it's not.
Stand by, because what it's led us to is what's the strangest or grossest thing you've seen in public, i.e. someone clipping their nails on mass transit. I feel like that's going to pale in comparison to most of the things that we're going to get. Chuck Diapers on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox. Didn't Wilcox watch a guy or a kid or something lick the syrup jar at a restaurant?
No.
No, not quite. I witnessed a kid lick all the ketchup bottles, you know, when they have the actual glass bottle of ketchup on the table. There was a kid, like, just firing his tongue into the top of all those bottles.
844-4WW-SHOW. Let's talk to Les, who's got something for us. Les, you're on with Woody and Wilcox.
So I'm from Toronto, and the Seth Rogen toenail clipping recording is definitely necessary there. For some reason, people do it. It's weird. The TTC, which is the Toronto Transit Commission, is a It's a fun system to be on after a certain time. We, in fact, after the subway shuts down, we, it's called the Red Rocket, the Toronto Transit System.
Oh.
And after the subway shuts down at like 2 in the morning, which is exactly when the bars shut down, the bus that takes over is appropriately called the Vomit Comet. So you can imagine what happens on the Vomit Comet late at night.
And why people are vomiting, because everybody's cutting their toenails.
Is that what it is?
Exactly. Exactly. Pretty awesome. I love Toronto.
And the faint smell of beaver and the queen.
That's right. Beaver and flapjacks, even. You know, will sometimes walk through the air at the popular one.
So, Les, what's the grossest thing that you've probably seen on there?
I mean, the throwing up is pretty nasty. I'm not going to lie. That's up there.
Technically, I don't feel like it's voluntary.
Correct.
And so cutting your nails, clearly, unless I don't see the guy holding the gun to your head, cutting your nails is voluntary, whereas the vomiting, you know, you probably are not intentionally, you know, seeking out the Toronto subway, the Red Rocket, you
right.
know, to vomit. It just happened.
That's right.
So,
yes.
But you know, good. I appreciate the call either way.
Sure. No, awesome. Love you guys.
Thank you, Les. 844-4WW-SHOW. The Red Rocket. The horrible nickname, by the
awful.
Way.
Awful. Do they know what that means?
They're Canadian. Of course they don't know what it means, Chelsea.
How dare you. Laura has something for us. Hey, Laura.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. What's your story?
So, when I was in college, I would work till 4 a.m. or so, and then go out to, you know, Waffle House or wherever, and, you know, have some early breakfast, late dinner, whatever.
Right.
And I was sitting there and looking across the restaurant, and there was a couple sitting on the same side, which I'm always against anyway, but the wife had her husband's shirt pulled up over, like, up to his neck, and she was taking her sweet time perusing his back for pimples and then popping them at the table. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You know, it kind of makes the grease on the plate a little less appetizing when you're seeing that.
Thing. Did no one say something to them?
You don't say anything to anybody at a Waffle House at that hour, Chelsea.
It's really for the best.
Remember, yeah. I got asked to leave a Waffle House because I had on no shoes. So they won't wear shoes.
How bad are your feet?
Right? Were you clipping your nails?
Gross.
Clearly you hadn't clipped your toenails on the subway.
No, but you can pop pimples at a table, but you can't just, you know, go in, no shoes, and ask for some hash browns?
Again.
Come on.
Don't you need to reassess yourself, Chelsea, on that?
They
one?
Didn't inspect my feet first and then make their decision.
No, they didn't have to.
Smell them from across the room.
Exactly.
Ugh.
It was memorable. I mean, it's been 20 years, and I still shudder at the thought.
Clearly memorable.
You think she was just getting more creamer for her coffee?
Okay.
All right.
No.
Oh, God. God, I hope not.
Laura, I'd like to say thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Love to share.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. 844-4WW-SHOW. That's just disgusting.
I may not be able to eat waffles now.
I doubt it. Right? Come on.
844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through on the phones. Carrie sends me an instant message on Facebook and says, this may not apply to everybody, but it always grosses me out. Riding the bus into work, and a woman across from me reaches into her purse, whips out a tube of toothpaste and her toothbrush, fires that bad boy up, and just starts brushing her teeth right in public. I immediately begin thinking, where's she going to spit out all the toothpaste and the foam? Nope. Gulp. Swallows it. I gagged in my seat when she did it.
Oh.
What's wrong with swallowing it?
Cool beans. Cool beans. Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
I mean that all the time, but when you have to.
Cool beans. Cool beans. We're going to need that. All of that.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Woo!
All right!
Yay!
Huh?
That's all I could do.
It's always a struggle.
I mean, passwords all worked this morning.
Key card worked.
I guess just backing up, we were only off 2 days. We were off Thursday and Friday last week. So, you know, not just a long weekend, I guess, but the timing, I guess, is what's off for me. I just I had to run down the hall because I sort of forget how that whole thing plays out. Mm. I don't know. So, but other than that, look, second of all, you know, I'll go back to it again. There's that old standby that people like to throw out at us when we take a day off that we're going to kill a celebrity. I would like to point out that while apparently Aretha Franklin is gravely ill, we had nothing to do with that. And she's still alive, apparently. So I'm not making that up, and that's sad news. I didn't know what was going on with it, but I saw that this morning, literally as I was getting up. I got the news alert, Aretha Franklin gravely ill, and I thought, well, here we go. And of course, it's already come in. Oh, way to go, guys. No. Doesn't count. Still with us. As far as we know,
right.
She's going to be around for another 20 years. So.
What if she's not?
And we're here. And I didn't see this until today. I think it just happened today.
When's her next vacation? Is she going to make it to our next vacation?
I don't know. Everybody good?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Speaking of vacations, of course, on Thursday and Friday, we replayed some clips from previous shows. And that always is interesting because there are people who are hearing some things for the first time who listen, you know, quite a bit, but maybe are a fairly new or haven't been listening for years. And one of the ones that was pointed out multiple times was we had the segment where we had Beer Club Brandon's dad on. That played
Hans.
I think on Friday, I'm going to say, is when, I don't know, it doesn't matter. And if you're not familiar, that all came up because Beer Club Brandon, who's been a friend of the show for a long time, said once upon a time, my dad used to have a job where he worked at a like at an auto mechanic shop or a car dealership, but his sole job was that when women, and this was in, I want to say Germany or Switzerland, when women came into the dealership to have their car worked on, while they waited, his dad would take the women to lunch. And it was presented, right. And it was presented to us like that was his sole job.
Right.
Like
right.
he only worked there so that when women came in, mm-hmm. specifically, obviously, and this was whatever, the 60s or something, that he would then take them out to lunch while their car was being worked on. So we actually spoke to Beer Club Brandon's dad, Hans, as mm-hmm. Chelsea pointed out. And it led to another one of my stellar moments where I mess up a phrase, and that's what everybody was pointing out from this clip from Hans.
What can I say? I'm not proud of everything that I did as a young man, but I was a lady chaser. So
Did you ever inspect their tailpipes?
Yeah.
Okay, Woody.
And well, the ladies came in, and then I went to the reception. I said, I need a little oil. And then, without Hans.
The apple doesn't fall from the tree.
And then after that.
I can't tell you how many people were on the Fez line going, hey, the apple. I had totally forgotten about my apple doesn't fall. the apple doesn't fall from the tree.
And then after that.
What's that now?
And now, right. A moment with Wilcox.
You got to give him credit. Man, that Tom Brady. What cannot he do?
I don't think that came out right.
Huh? Is that not the right way to say that?
I don't know.
That Tom Brady. What cannot he do? I feel like that's right. Not right?
This has been A Moment with Wilcox.
I can't wait to hear the Apple thing now in one of those two. That's great. So, all right. Well, I guess we're going to have to do a full 5 days this week. Mm. So somebody, I don't know how we screwed that up, but that's going to happen. After we left to go on that couple days vacation, did you see the story about the airline employee who stole the plane?
God, yeah.
It's a tragedy, ultimately, but such a strange story as well. A guy who worked on the ground crew for an airline ended up stealing a plane on Friday night. So I'm sure you've seen that if you ever, you know, if you have access to the internet. It was one of the bigger stories out there. But the thing that's hit now is that they've released the audio of him and his conversations while he's flying this stolen airline plane with the ground control. And if you haven't heard that, it's amazing. So I want to share some of that with you, and we'll do that as part of the chat, which we'll get to next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now it's time for the Chat Report. Stuff happening around.
The G is silent.
Beep, 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 beep.
On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
So this story about the airline employee who, I guess, stole a plane is the only way to phrase it from late Friday night is amazing to me. Have you guys followed along with this and what's come out in the last little bit?
Yeah.
I've just seen a little bit.
The video was amazing. And then you hear the guy's story and he was a ground crew member, and a lot of people are saying, how does he know how to start the engine? How does he know how to fly this plane?
Well, back it up. It's Horizon Air, which is part of Alaska Airlines. It's a 29-year-old dude who, as Woody said, was a ground agent for the airline, so had clearance and access to go to places where you could access a plane. And he just took a plane, a 76-seater. So not one of the massive planes, but man, good-sized commercial airliner nonetheless, and was not a pilot, and just started flying it around. And then they had to scramble military jets, and nobody knew what was happening, obviously. Ultimately, he had crashed it, and I think at one point, and I'm not, I mean, I don't know that it was clear necessarily that he was... Was he suicidal? Was this an accident? Was he just taking a joyride? The sheriff's office is saying he was suicidal. So I guess it was intentional. That seems to be the indication.
Well, when the audio came out, and I first heard the audio yesterday, so it may have been Saturday or yesterday when it came out, it was odd to hear how rational, how calm he was, you know. And I guess maybe in my head, when somebody's suicidal, they're sort of weeping or they're having that emotional distress that you would normally hear. And if you haven't heard the audio of him talking to the air traffic controller, it's stunningly calm and normal.
Well, yeah, and I didn't necessarily, maybe I'm misreading it, but in the audio that I've heard, I didn't hear anything that necessarily said that he was suicidal. It just sounded like he was... You know, when he said people are going to be disappointed in me, that could mean that he stole a plane. I mean, it doesn't necessarily. Maybe there's more to it than I haven't heard. Listen to this.
Roger, 2239, runway 16, strike, clear to land.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy. Got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
If you go too much further in that direction, I won't be able to hear you anymore.
All right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think? I'm going to land it. In a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
So he ends up crashing on an island about, I don't know, 20, 30 miles from the airport in Seattle. This is where this happened. And luckily no one on the ground was hurt, but obviously he didn't make it. I guess he did some tricks. I guess he did end up doing some of those.
He did the barrel roll. Have you not seen the video of it?
No, I've only heard the audio.
Yeah, there is somebody who was like, wow, what's that plane doing? And like a lot of people, whips out their cell phone and you see him barrel roll this big plane. You just go, wow, this is amazing. Other audio that I had heard, he's like, you know, I'm not a pilot, but you know, I've played some video games before. And apparently just watching YouTube videos and...
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody, at least in his work with the airline, said that he had zero, you know, he'd never flown a plane before. But apparently it's either easier than you think or you can learn from something online, I guess. That's unusual. I'm going to throw that out there.
Well, it's terrifying is what it is.
It's sad, too. I mean, he's obviously not in his right mind.
Yeah. One of his family members, it may seem difficult for those watching at home to believe, but he was a warm, compassionate man. It's impossible to encompass who he was in a press release. He was a faithful husband, a loving son, and a good friend. That's what I've seen. Positive note, switching gears, and I know this will be nice for you, Woody. 7-Eleven is doing buy one, get one free Slurpees.
Whoa, this year, so yeah!
Let's try to focus on the positive and keep this uplifted.
For today?
All week. The entire week.
What are we celebrating?
I'm going to have to pace myself.
I think it has something to do with back to school. They want the kids to get all sugared up or something.
But this is not where you fill a helmet day.
No, you don't fill your helmet. This is buy one, get one free.
That's right. Sometimes 7-Eleven has a thing where you bring your own thing in and you can fill it.
Trash bag.
Bring your vessel and bring your helmet. No, no. Okay. This is not that. This
just
is
BOGO.
Just you buy one. That's right. BOGO. Buy one, get one for the entire week. So there is a silver lining to this whole thing. Speaking of weird stories, we do have a round of It Happened in Florida, and we'll share that with you, and you'll have a chance to get in and compete if you'd like to, and we're going to do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, we've got three stories we're going to share with you here, and all of them are true, but they could have happened anywhere all over the globe, and obviously you got to spot the ones that went down in the troubled state of Florida. It's that easy. Spot the Florida story first. You win at 844-4WW-SHOW. And Woody is going to start us off with story number one.
Story number one, there is a lesson to be learned as police had to rescue four women from a floating rainbow unicorn. You've seen these, right? Giant inflatables that people hang out in pools or lakes and stuff like that. Well, these four women were on a floating unicorn and it got stuck in the weeds at the lake that they were at and they could not get out. What do you do then? Hello, 911. I'm on a floating rainbow unicorn and I'm stuck in the weeds. And they're like, are you on weed right now? What the hell are you talking about? Good news is the officers there on the lake did respond to the call and save the four women who were stuck on a floating unicorn. It's not a euphemism for anything, although I wish it was.
Speaking of 911, and you know we're big proponents of the 911 system, but we would beg of you not to use it for something that is tying up the phone lines for somebody who has a legitimate emergency. I feel like maybe, and maybe, I'm not 100% sure because I can feel this man's pain. Maybe the man in story number two should fall under that heading as he called 911 because he was being stalked by an animal. Have you guys seen this story? Remember what he's being stalked by?
Raccoon?
Bobcat?
I'm sorry, raccoon was your first answer, Chelsea.
What he said,
again,
bobcat.
Not good at this guessing game.
Well, this
still hasn't
happened
improved.
In Florida. What, he was being followed by a cat? That's not exciting.
A cat?
That's not exciting. You got to go bigger than that.
I don't know. Do you mean a house cat?
Yes.
No, not being stalked by a house cat or a raccoon, actually. But thanks for playing. Baby squirrel was what I was looking for.
You got a second. Now her answers don't seem that bad.
Trying to be creative and
Chelsea,
unique.
You know how the game works. You're supposed to guess a real answer, and then I give you the weird one. Don't guess a weird one up front, because then my answer's not as fun.
My guessing's not as fun, then.
Is it Florida, where a man was being stalked by a baby squirrel, is what he told the 911 folks. Stalked and under threat were the quotes that he used. By the way, they did send out a unit to help the man, if I may use that expression. Don't know if they had had other issues with baby squirrels in the past or exactly how large of a squirrel we're talking about when we say a baby squirrel. I feel like that's a relative term. Was it Florida? And I'll give you some more stats on this when we solve. Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with a man who is charged with an 1815. Chelsea, 1815.
Baby squirrel.
Muffled packet on a pinto.
Cat. 1816.
These are great answers.
An 1815 is an attempted striptease at a Japanese steakhouse. Surprised you guys didn't get that one. Apparently what happened was there was a couple that was enjoying this Japanese restaurant and a dude who was seated across from them began taking his clothes off and dancing in front of the woman. Sadly, he did not take a Tori Spelling and head her into the old hibachi there. He continued to remove his clothes and dance seductively and then challenged the man to fight there at the Japanese steakhouse. He has been charged with disorderly conduct in an establishment, which apparently is different than just disorderly conduct out in a field somewhere. They believe alcohol played a major factor in his attempted striptease at a Japanese steakhouse. Was it in Florida? Let's let Kevin have the first crack at this. Kevin, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in the dingly dangly state?
Story number three.
Number three. Yeah, that's the one. Thanks to everybody, by the way, who sent this in over the weekend. It was, Jacksonville, Florida, where that one went down? It's pretty amazing. I wish there was video. Sadly, there is not.
Story number two, not in this country. Germany is where the man called 911 because he was being stalked and under threat by a ferocious animal that turned out to be a baby squirrel. By the way, the cops were able to catch it after it, quote, ran out of energy and lied down to take a nap. So it does sound pretty vicious.
Okay.
They think it was only chasing him because it had been separated from its mother and thought he was the mom.
Aww.
The man was not hurt. Squirrel now being cared for in an animal rescue center.
And in Minnesota, where four women were on a giant inflatable unicorn with rainbow-colored wings, they got stuck in the weeds. And luckily, they had their phone to call 911 and an officer saved them.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We were off last week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about this, but did you guys watch any of ESPN 8, The Ocho, that was on again?
I don't know what you're saying.
Remember back when Dodgeball, the movie, came out, and the Dodgeball Championship was broadcast on ESPN 8, known as The Ocho, a fictitious channel?
Right. No, I get that reference.
But every now and then, ESPN does a little something and likes to have a little fun, and they did it last week where they actually, I think it was ESPN U or maybe it was ESPN 2, they literally called it The Ocho for 18 hours and played sports that you normally wouldn't see. Like, I caught the lightsaber world championships that were held in, like, a Motel 6. It was fascinating. Like,
you loved it.
In, like, fencing gear, but then they had lightsabers and judges, and they were, you know, sword fighting, but with these light-up swords. And I'm like, what? Where the hell's Wilcox? Come on, this is better than March Madness. And they had announcers, and there was cornhole, and there was, like, stuff that you just don't normally see.
Now, the cornhole you do normally see, that's not out of the ordinary, because that's been running for weeks.
I watched sumo wrestling.
They've been having cornhole tournaments for weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it a bunch.
People have commented and sent me emails, you guys need to have fun with cornhole audio. And I was like, you watch your mouth.
Yeah, for some reason, that's not considered unusual. I mean, I'm not kidding. They've been playing cornhole stuff, I feel like, off and on for a month. It's not one weekend type of thing.
And one of the things I caught, soapbox derby racing. Now, ask your great-grandparents about soapbox derby racing. This is like for kids, and I always think of Akron, Ohio as being sort of the mecca for soapbox derby racing, where kids get in these non-powered cars and they roll down a ramp and you see who can go the fastest down this hill. However, they do things a little bit differently in Ireland. During a soapbox derby race, they put jumps in the middle of the course. You ever seen soapbox derby racing with jumps?
The cars are made of wood traditionally, right?
Correct. And there's no engine in them. And is there a brake? I don't even know if there's a brake.
I have no idea.
There's a steering wheel, and you hang
your foot.
Take a look at the video of this particular race in Northern Ireland. I put it up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. This is the first guy going down the soapbox derby and hitting the first jump. You hear the reaction from the crowd because he launches and almost comes out of his seat. He lands on the front wheels of the soapbox derby racer. The next guy, not so lucky. That's when the paramedics come out to attend to this guy who was ejected out of his seat.
There's no safety measures at all.
There's no seatbelt, Chelsea. We're lucky that this guy has a helmet on. He's wearing like Levi's and sneakers. He's just... And that's just one of 50 of these crashes. And when you put jumps in a soapbox derby, wouldn't you figure maybe you test it out? Like, let's see how this jump it affects people. No testing done. No safety measures.
But so these aren't kids.
No, these are adults that are racing in this particular one.
Because I think of kids when I think of soapbox derby.
I usually do as well. But thank goodness, they sent the adults down the jump line of this particular soapbox derby. And there are hundreds of people lining the streets. So obviously they know something that we don't.
What? No. They don't, what do you mean?
What?
Soapbox derby racing is better with jumps.
Well, they want to see people crash and burn, obviously.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes. Take a look. The video is up right now. And I applaud ESPN 8, the Ocho. Let's make this a normal occurrence.
Speaking of sports, did you... Well, and if you did, don't reveal it. Did you see during a Major League Baseball game an umpire having to leave the field of play because of something that happened during the game? That I mean, I've watched a lot of baseball. I don't think I've ever seen this happen. If you didn't catch it, we'll play some audio for you and explain where you can see it. And reveal coming up here in a second.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So, bear with me. If you're not a baseball fan, this way transcends baseball. But something happened on a Major League Baseball field in the last week. And you may not have seen it, especially if you're not a baseball fan. But, Chelsea, I'm going to have you. I don't know if Woody, if you've seen this, but... Chelsea, I want you to guess. It's a rare situation when an umpire has a medical issue and has to leave the field. But it happens occasionally. Maybe gets hit by a pitch, or there's a foul ball and it gets fouled back and hits the umpire in a place that's vulnerable or whatever, and they have to leave the field. That's not what happened in this particular. This was a White Sox Yankees game. And the umpire had a problem. And I'm going to play part of the audio for you from the announcers. And I'll see if I can stop it before they reveal what the issue is here.
Something's going on here with Bruce Dreckman, the second base umpire.
So the second base umpire is now jogging off the field. So he's under his own power. It's not like he fell to the ground and had to be helped off. But he's jogging off the field. And, of course, the announcers have noticed this. It's right during play. You know, pitcher's on the mound. He's throwing pitches. And all of a sudden, the second base umpire calls timeout and starts jogging into one of the dugouts. And he's got an issue, which they reveal in a second. Chelsea, I'm going to turn to you.
Raccoon.
That was a great guess. I stood by that.
Can you imagine what may have happened to this umpire? Why? What would be the issue? And like I said, I don't think I've ever seen this before at any level of baseball or in any sport, because this actually has nothing to do, I'll give you this, nothing to do with baseball. It just happens that he was an umpire.
You've never ever heard of anything like this?
Nope, not during a sporting event.
Did he get some kind of bite or something like that and have a weird allergic reaction?
From a player?
That'd be more exciting. No, from like an ant or something.
Did he have food poisoning? Something he ate before and then suddenly it kicks in, you know, he's vomiting.
Let me play, he's not vomiting. Let me play the audio here. So the announcers are trying to figure it out. He runs over to a trainer.
It's Steve Donahue's going to check him out. Oh, he's got a bug in his ear.
He's got a what?
He's got a bug in his ear. I'll say it again. He has a bug in his ear. Now, here's what's great about baseball. He trots off the field. And they'll explain what happens.
That can't be fun. I saw that happen to Butch Weiniger.
Now, by the way...
Wait a second. Who? He's got a story about bugs and ears?
So that's one of the great things. B, while they're saying this, the trainer is in the dugout sticking something in the umpire's ear. And the camera's on it. And so, of course, out on the field, all the guys are standing around. Yes, So the one dude's like, yeah, that happened to Butch Weininger back in the day. Now, hang on. He goes on to talk.
Now they're going to play with just three umpires.
So now they've decided, all right, we don't need the second base umpire. While he's in the dugout getting his ear looked at, they're going to keep playing. They've got three other umpires. So the game is going on now. The pitcher's about to throw a pitch.
That happened. Moth flew into his ear. He was catching at the time. He couldn't get it out.
How far did that moth make it?
I have the thing about it, Ryan, that the Yankees didn't want to take him out of the game. He was the catcher.
By the way, they're a minute into this situation. From the discovery that the umpire had a moth in his ear, game's still going on. He's thrown three pitches since this happened. No commentary whatsoever on the game. They're talking about a moth.
So after a while, Earl Weaver's getting impatient. I mean, he started yelling, screaming, get him out of here, get somebody else. That had to be very annoying.
Fourth pitch to the batter, still not talking about it.
Now, the bug in the eye, it's not overly common, but you see it. The bug in the ear, that's a little more rare.
Yeah.
Now, they're still showing the dugout, and Trainer has a Q-tip out, it looks like, and is jabbing around in the umpire's ear. Now they show the game again. Pitcher looking in for the sign. Goes into his windup. Throws a pitch.
2-2.
Oh, they do mention the count. Now they cut to the dugout, and the trainer has tweezers and is holding up a moth in the tweezers. And that thing is flopping around, wings flapping. And here they're going to address it.
Oh, my gosh. They got it, and it's still flapping.
Go Stevie.
You know that whole you see something different every day you go to the ballpark?
Over 2 minutes of moth situation.
They're not even talking about the baseball game.
That's just fantastic. The slowest possible moving game ever.
By the way, I posted an edited video. It's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. That moth, number one, is pretty big.
Yes.
When you said flapping around, like the trainer holds it up as if to be like, look what I just pulled out of his ear.
Yes.
Is the guy alive?
Yes. Trotted right back out onto the field. Seemingly no worse for wear. If you've had something in your ear, 844-4WW-SHOW. I want them now. I want the thing that got in your ear somehow. I feel like we need to start out the week right. This could be helpful to somebody. Maybe there's a preventative measure that can be taken. Is this common? It's never occurred to me that you could have a moth fly into your ear and get stuck there to the point that it had to be taken out. I mean, we've seen some of these, and I never believe them, you know, a lot of the stories that come out of China, we feel like are not really legitimate. Where there's a bug theoretically that climbed in somebody's ear. And, you know, I don't know. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are legitimate stories. Have you ever seen anything like that? Never mind the baseball part of it, just in general.
No.
We hear about things crawling into the ear.
Do we? But do we believe it? How long you lived on the planet? I mean, you've never had that happen, right? Anybody in here? Cool beans? Anything crawl into your ear?
No.
I just don't, it seems so unbelievably random, but obviously we saw it for real in this one. Like, they don't show it going in his ear, but they certainly show it coming out.
He's not doing a magic trick.
No, it's real. It's legitimate, so it does happen.
It's David Blaine, by the way.
He doesn't look like David Blaine.
It's makeup.
Prove me wrong. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through.
I only have one phone line open because there are apparently lots of people that got stuff stuck in their ear.
I mean, I don't know how long we want to go on it, but I do want to hear some of this, and I feel like it could be helpful for somebody.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, if you haven't had a chance or if you missed it, we were talking about the White Sox-Yankees game where one of the umpires on the field had to leave because a moth had flown into his ear. And he couldn't get it out. And for a couple of minutes, he went into the dugout. One of the trainers had to work with him. And then eventually, with tweezers, pulled a moth out of the second base umpire's ear. And you can see it. And it was alive and flapping and all that. Well, I thought that was unusual, but now maybe I'm finding out otherwise. Grab Georgia, I think, on three. Hey, Georgia.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling. What's your situation?
Well, I think I was about 12 or 13, maybe, and I woke up. So I woke up with this happening. It sounded like there was water in my ear. You can kind of know that scratchy feeling. Mm-hmm. It's kind of bubbly. But I turned over to the other side after trying to shake it out, and I heard pitter-patter, pitter-patter. So I was like, let me turn the other way. The same thing happened. So I realized there was something in there. Didn't know what it was. So I went to the bathroom, leaned my ear over the sink, pried it open like as far as I could, and basically I waited, and it crawled out onto my earlobe, and then I smashed it.
Wait, you're saying it. What is it?
An ant.
An ant?
Yeah. There wasn't any more in my bed or anything like that, but I woke up with this thing in my ear. So I don't know how it got in there. It wasn't like a trail of ants. It was just one stray ant.
Do you ever see one of those in your kitchen? You're like, where'd you come from? Like you walked across 30 of your planets.
Well, and also there's the really little ones, and then sometimes there's the fairly decent sized ones.
Correct.
Where did this one fall on the spit? It sounds bigger.
It sounds a little bigger. I think it was maybe a little smaller than some of the huge ones, but it wasn't tiny.
Can you imagine getting that ant bite inside your ear like that?
No, yeah, I didn't get a bite or anything, but I slept with like braided pigtails tied under my chin for like a month after that. Because
that was ear muffs or something.
Yeah. Putting socks on your ears, whatever it takes.
Yeah, it was pretty terrifying being, you know, a teenager.
So how long ago was that?
I'm 30 now. So
it's been, you know, over a decade since you've had an ant in your ear. And it hasn't happened again, so it's not like for some reason your ear is like really attractive to ants. This was just
nothing like that.
Random, theoretically. There was no explanation for it.
Nope. And I was in like a basement room and everything. So I don't know how it got in there. Crazy. It must have hitched a ride on something.
All right. So I need to grow my hair out as a protective measure, seems to be the answer.
Yes.
Georgia, thank you for the call.
Or pantyhose over your head. You could do that, too.
Oh, that's a great idea. I should have thought of that.
He actually already does that?
No, I wear those on my legs, though.
Yes.
Thank you, Georgia.
Thank you, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
844-4WW shows the way you can get through. You want to talk to Mike next?
I don't know if I do or not, but yes.
Mike, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's the story, man?
Hey, a few years ago when my son was about 15, he came into our bedroom in the middle of the night and said, Dad, I feel like I got something crawling in my ear. And I was like, are you sure? You know, we didn't have a bug-infested house or anything like that. And he said, yeah, it really feels like there's a bug crawling in my ear or something. And I said, all right. So I took him into the bathroom, and I had him tilt his head over and poured some rubbing alcohol into his ear. I figured that would get whatever was in there out.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a minute, a cockroach came crawling out of his ear.
No!
It was disgusting.
Really?
I tried to not let him. Yeah, I didn't want him to see what it was, but he insisted, and so I showed him, and he was like, "Oh my God!" So that was nasty.
You're the one that asked for this. Are you
already done?
Anybody else's ears hurt? Mine are ringing.
So anyway, that's the only time I've heard of something like that happening. So that's why I had to call you, because I heard that on about the moth.
And you poured rubbing alcohol in his ear.
Yeah, well, that's what my wife suggested, using that, because she figured it wouldn't hurt him, but if there was something in there, it would make it come out, and it did.
All right, well, I appreciate the info. Thanks, Mike. 844-4WW-SHOW. We got only two phone lines open. We got more people to talk to.
People are waking up to this.
Well, but again, you know, I feel like we've already heard a couple of ways to prevent it.
And thanks to the 45 people all telling the same joke, I get this lame thing stuck in my ear called the Woody and Wilcox Show. We got it. It's all over Facebook, Twitter, the Fez Line.
It's trending now.
Oh, you mean this one?
Hey, guys. You were talking about things crawling in the air. Somehow every morning, the worst radio show on the radio crawls inside of my ear and irritates me every morning. Thanks.
Well, you know what? I feel like there's some varied responses, mm-hmm. so I don't think we should wrap it yet, but a couple of more like that, and I'll probably be at my limit. 844-4WW-SHOW. Those of you that are on hold, stand by. We're going to get to you here.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I thought it was strange. We talked about it a little while ago. An umpire during the White Sox-Yankees game had to leave the field, and nobody could figure out why initially. And then it became clear that a moth had flown into his ear. And he left the field. He goes into the dugout. One of the trainers ends up ultimately about 2 minutes later. It took about 2 minutes for the process to play out. Pulled this thing out with a pair of tweezers, still flapping, and just flew away.
Thanks to Kevin on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, has posted a picture of his daughter listening to the show with her hands over her ears.
Right.
She will not take her hands off her ears. Ha ha.
Well, I don't know how any of us are going to get through life without covering our ears based on the calls that we're getting.
Yeah. 844-4WW-SHOW. Jessica, you got something for us? What's up?
Well, my brother-in-law was out doing yard work, weed eating and stuff, and a June bug flew into his ear. And you know how big June bugs are.
Yes.
And they have spikes kind of on their legs. Well, when it flew in, it just went crazy, and it did so much damage. He had blood running out of his ears, and he had to go to the emergency room.
What?
And he temporarily lost hearing in that ear.
You mean just while it was in there, or even after they took it out, he lost hearing?
After they took it out, it took a little while for his ear to heal back up.
What?
Was this June bug carrying a knife? What? I mean, what kind of...
I mean, it just, you know, because they have such, like, hard legs with the little spikes on them, I guess it just dug down in there and just tore his ear up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's fine now? No long-lasting effects?
No, he's fine now, but he said it was one of the most painful things he's ever been through.
Who's buying earmuffs right now? Like, I'm on Amazon shopping for them right now.
How? Yes. Why would we even go outside with our ear holes exposed?
No. Yes.
I know. It's crazy, but I love your show.
Thank you, Jessica. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through. What? John? Do you want to hear John's?
Yeah, I do.
John, you're on with Woody Wilcox. What's up, man?
Okay, so about 4 years or so ago, my family and I, along with a couple other families, were up camping. So we're out late at night, and we're having a little campfire going around. And one of the older family members is a man, and for whatever reason, older men seem to have huge ears.
That is true.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to come over and hang out with us. Well, he's carrying his lantern because it's dark, and of course, moths are drawn to light. And sure enough, he's about 20 yards from the campsite where we're at hanging out. He grabs the side of his head and's like, ah! And so we're all looking at him like, what's going on? And he walks over and he's like, I think something's in my ear. And sure enough, he leans over, and I take his lantern, I look, and there's a moth stuck down in his ear. And it's just hilarious, and we can't hardly do anything, you know, because we're up late hanging out at the campground, and he knows what goes on at the campground.
Right.
We eventually, after about 10 minutes, get this thing out in multiple pieces.
What did you use to get it out?
First, we kind of dug around with some twigs that were right there in the area, but then somebody got real smart, I think my wife, and went inside and found a pair of tweezers.
Oh. Right. Look at this twig in this old man's ear.
He wants to go camping. Yeah. We're going to put a twig in an old man's ear. It's going to be fun.
That's what happens at campsite. John, we appreciate the call, man. 844-4WW-SHOW.
If you're putting the twig in an old man's ear right now, 844-4WW-SHOW.
Right.
That may or may not be a euphemism for something.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, if you missed it earlier, we were talking about the umpire in a Yankees-White Sox game that had to leave the field because a moth had flown into his ear. I've never seen that happen before, especially, you know, in a pro sporting event, but I've never seen that happen before anywhere. And so I threw it out there. Hey, is this weird? Is this uncommon? Is this common? And well, thanks to everybody who has shared stories of all sorts about stuff in people's ears. Appreciate that.
Excessive country ham smell, Greg, ringing in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page.
Yeah.
Says, my business partner had a bee fly up his nose while we were working, stinging his sinuses. The customer whose yard we were mowing was an ex-nurse and threw a cup of ammonia up his nose to help the pain. It was hilarious because it didn't happen to me. Week later, we were mowing another yard. He was listening to music and singing while he was weed eating. Hit a fresh pile of dog poop. Flew right into the back of his throat. He immediately started throwing up while I was laughing.
All right.
Slash gagging.
All right.
He has really bad luck. Now, that's not necessarily an ear-related thing, but it did make me smile.
Thanks to Mike on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, who sent in what I believe to be the worst of all of them, I think. The headline is from the, it's not his story, this is from the Washington Post. Cockroach crawls into Florida woman's ear, and it takes 9 days to get it out.
Remember we talked about this?
We did?
Yes.
I guess I was able to successfully block it out. She woke up, felt something cold in her ear one night, thought it was a piece of ice, because that's how it felt. Rushed to the bathroom, stuck a cotton swab in there, and felt a rhythmic movement. Is how she described it, as if it was something trying to burrow deeper into her ear. Pulled out the cotton swab and a couple of brown pieces that looked like legs. So that's how it started. They decided to take her to the ER, basically, is how that played out. And they went to the ER, and she tells them what happened. The nurse injects lidocaine into the roach with a needle, obviously, in her ear. She says, I felt the roach move, twitch, wiggle further into my ear to avoid death, and then 2 minutes later, nothing. It took the doctor about 20 seconds to pull out the chunks of the dead roach. She left the hospital 2 hours later with a prescription for antibiotics and eardrops, relieved that it was all over. But about a week later, she still didn't feel normal. She said she felt discomfort every time she yawned, and the medicine drops had begun to leak out, leading her to think that maybe somehow there had been earwax that built up. She happened to have a regularly scheduled doctor's appointment, so she went to the doctor. Her doctor and a physician flushed out her ear 4 times. And using an otoscope, they peeked inside, and there was another leg. So the doctor pulled out 6 more pieces of the roach's remains, but feared there still might be more, and arranged for her to see a third doctor who specializes in ear, nose, and throat.
I thought you were going to say he specializes in ear roach removal. This apparently happens enough that you would need a doctor for that.
She expected when she got to the other doctor that if he was able to get something, she might find another leg or two, but not another leg or two. That doctor was able, with other equipment, to pull out the head, torso, long antenna, and limbs of a full-grown palmetto bug. For 9 days, that had been in her ear.
How big are her ear holes? You know how big those things are.
She said, I was furious. I was really disappointed that the ER hadn't realized that they hadn't gotten it all out, including the head. By the way, apparently they don't bite and she's fine. No permanent damage, no infection.
I disagree.
Just 9 days with a dead half cockroach in her ear.
You know how sometimes you get that itch in your ear, something like that? For the rest of your life, you've got that feeling like there's another bug in there.
Well, you're saying mentally you feel like there's long-term damage, correct, but there's not physical, apparently. At least this was...
It's all psychological.
I don't know when this happened. Earlier this year.
did you hear the first part of that where she woke up and her ear was cold, so she thought it was an ice cube?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's a, well, must be an ice cube. We woke up. Like, what is that?
All right, I'm done.
Did you hear Florida?
That's it. Not going any further with this.
Just go home.
If you want to hear the others, they'll be on the podcast. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. I think we did, you know, early on, I felt like we were helping because there were some solutions, including a woman who had grown her hair long and did pigtails and then tied them under her chin so that she could protect her ears from further invaders.
We're currently growing our hair out now.
All right. Well, thank you. I didn't quite understand what I was getting into, but I hope we've done some good, and I fear we have not.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Chelsea, I know you're allergic to a couple of different things, right? You have some allergies. Certain times of the year, you get bugged.
Dogs,
yeah. Wilcox, you don't have any allergies, right?
I don't know. Nothing that bothers me, so I guess not.
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Did you guys realize that at any time you could get an allergy?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I guess.
I bring it up because a friend of mine sent a picture of his daughter enjoying a little meal. Take a look at that, Chelsea. That's some crab legs.
That looks great.
Yeah. I mean, this is the type of meal that when it comes, you're like, oh, I got to take a picture of this because she's 10 years old. She's enjoying some crab legs. Then he sends me this picture, and this is about 45 minutes later, and she's in the emergency room because she has a shellfish allergy. Now, obviously, when you saw that first picture and she's like ready to tuck into some of these crab legs, you're like, this is a girl who can eat and loves herself some crab legs. She's had shellfish before, including crab legs. But now they learn from the ER doc, yep. Allergy could set in at any moment, any point in your life.
So not that you can have it discovered at any point in your life, but one can exist where one did not exist previous. In other words, right, somebody may go, I've never had crab legs, and then I had them when I was 15 and found out I was allergic.
Right.
But you're saying she had been eating crab legs her whole life, and then all of a sudden, at 10, you said?
Yes.
Something switched.
Right. There was something that, I don't know the medical term for it, but they were at dinner. And she's like, my chin is itching. Like, it feels like there's something biting my, and they were like, okay, yeah, maybe you've been out in the sun and you need some moisturizer. Then she's like, now my tongue is itching, like the same way, and it's starting to go numb. Now I'm having a hard time breathing. And then they're like, we're headed to the hospital.
That's frightening as a parent.
Chelsea, we're all parents.
And for her, too.
But they probably still didn't realize what was happening.
No idea.
Is it possible that this is just a reaction to some bad shell, like one bad batch? Are they convinced that she's now allergic to all shellfish?
Well, what did they do when she got to the hospital?
They gave her the EpiPen. Am I saying that right? The EpiPen. And she's fine. She was back playing the next day, and they were told to avoid shellfish.
Have they? So they're not going to try it again?
Well, I think they're going to go to an allergy specialist, and they will determine exactly if it was some sort of, I don't know, red tide or bacteria, or if it was, in fact, the shellfish. I don't know.
Because it'd be so sad for her. She went through that, and now she can't eat crab legs anymore, too. Double whammy.
Look at that. Look on her face. She loves crab legs.
Who doesn't?
It blew me away because he's like, yeah, by the way, at any time you may develop this allergy. Maybe it was, you know, she hadn't eaten enough quantity of crab legs, but now there's a shellfish allergy after years of eating. I've never heard of anything like that, and it scares me.
It scares you?
Yes, because I'm afraid I'm going to be eating something, and then suddenly I'm going to be like, I've been eating this for years, and now I'm allergic to it. God forbid it's beer, or pizza, or Taco Bell.
Right. Take away some of the mediocre foods first, you know what I mean? I'll be allergic to those.
Right. If you want, I'm allergic to Brussels sprouts. Oh, darn, I have to avoid those? Fine, I can do that. Don't take away my crab legs.
Did you say Taco Bell? I don't know that you could develop an allergy to Taco Bell.
Damn right you can.
That's multiple food groups. Wow.
Shocking.
I feel like I'm still going to need some follow-up information when they get some.
Well,
I've never heard of this happening, ever.
Have you always had your allergies, Chelsea, or was it something that later in life you were like, oh my God, I had no idea?
Well, mine's more complicated because I had to take another medication that kind of reset my immune system, so mm-hmm. I was allergic to everything, because I had no immunity.
So you were like a newborn baby out in the world.
A little bit.
Ear holes all wide, waiting for a bug to crawl in.
Bugs just crawling all over.
Cool Beans ringing in, saying that the same thing happened to her with pineapples. So, Cool Beans, you ate pineapples your whole life, and then later in life, you became allergic to them? Is that what you're saying?
She's saying, yes, I am skeptical. Don't make the face at me.
Chelsea doesn't think you know what you're talking about, Cool Beans.
Yeah, you're skeptical.
With your own body.
Right.
I want to hear the story.
Well, we can get her to tell that story, and it seems like it's not alone. Jess is ringing in on Twitter. One of my friends developed a severe peanut allergy in high school. Had been eating peanut butter prior. It happens.
So sad.
Amazing.
Well, everybody always loves to hear Cool Beans, so let's have that happen, and then we'll see if maybe Chelsea wants to argue with her and tell her it's not really happening.
Just that I was skeptical.
Eat a pineapple.
Your call welcome, by the way, at 844-4WW-SHOW.
Woody and Wilcox Show.
So Woody was sharing a story from a buddy of his who just over the weekend discovered after 10 years of life that his daughter is allergic to shellfish. She had been eating crab legs her whole life, and then all of a sudden over the weekend had some hideous reaction to them and had to go to the emergency room. Cool Beans actually had just shared that she had something go on in her life. We'll get to her in a second. Grab, is that Daniel?
Yep.
Grab Daniel. Daniel?
Yo.
What's up, man?
Oh, Daniel.
What's your story, man?
Actually, there's quite a few people in my family that have had this happen, but my wife had it happen to her when she was a little girl. She ate mushrooms and all the time, and she went to, and then when she got older, she was at college. They ordered a pizza from the and had mushrooms on it, and woke up 2 weeks later in the hospital.
2 weeks later?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was in a coma for 2 weeks because she was allergic to the mushrooms, and, yeah.
Real mushrooms?
She was in a coma for 2 weeks because she ate mushrooms on a pizza.
Yes, and she had eaten them when she was a little girl, and they were like, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so, they did the scratch test, and when they did scratch test on the mushroom. And when they did, they said, she just, that little area just swelled right up.
Wow.
So we're convinced these are real regular mushrooms, not like put some mushrooms on the pizza, wink. And she just had too much.
No wink.
These are
straight up regular. Yeah.
Well, that's frightening.
Out of a can of mushrooms.
I didn't know that was a reaction that you could have being allergic to mushrooms. Apparently I'm seeing everybody ring in that says, yes, it's not uncommon to get something late in life, but to have go into a coma. Well, wow.
Another one is my uncle is allergic to the wheat and beer. He can't drink beer anymore.
But he drank beer for a while and now is allergic to it?
Yep.
There you go, Woody. It's your worst nightmare.
Dude, Daniel.
Appreciate the call, sort of, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
all
man.
Right. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Cool Beans, why don't you come in and share yours? Cool Beans apparently has had the same thing happen. I don't know that. I can't imagine finding out that anybody had a worse reaction than a 2 week coma. I mean, can we get a medical professional to ring in on that? Is that a thing? Hey, Cool Beans.
Good morning.
So what was your situation?
I bought some fresh pineapples and I ate them, and it seemed like there was a lot of pepper on it. So I just threw it away, and because it just messed up my mouth and throat. And so I thought it was just tainted. And so I threw it away, and then I bought some more because I love pineapples.
Who doesn't?
Right. And same thing happened. So I thought, well, maybe it's, not the pineapple. Maybe it's me.
No. You never accept responsibility.
So you're tainted.
Yes.
So I just happened to be going to the dentist, and so I asked him about it, and I said, you know, whenever I eat pineapple, something happens with my mouth and throat, and he said, well, stop eating pineapple.
They teach you that in doctor school? Is that what they do?
That's easier said than done, by the way. Have you had pineapple? Exactly. It's good.
Exactly. And so I looked, I was like, well, I like pineapple. And he mm-hmm. said, well, pineapple is good. And then he said, it sounds like an allergy. So when I had my whole nasal thing going on.
Explain your nasal thing.
Well, hang on. Let her finish the story, and then we'll go back and explain that.
This was during that time. And so I had gone to an allergist, and she ran a whole bunch of tests. I had to do the oils test, where they put oils on your arms and legs and backs. Like, I was just sitting there with all these oils on me. And then, because some of the oils were inconclusive, they did the scratch test for certain things. Mm-hmm. And so, come to find out, I'm actually allergic to mold, ragweed, I believe, dog dander, and then the pineapples. So, and it's only fresh pineapples, not canned, because apparently there's something in fresh pineapple. There's some kind of chemical in the fresh pineapple.
Do they cook it when they can it?
I have no idea. Well, I have no idea. But I don't know. I asked her that. Because, and at the same time, I also was diagnosed with asthma. So it's an adult onset asthma. And she said that they don't know. It just happens.
Why didn't you go to medical school for all these years? You can't tell me why.
Because some things can't be explained.
They call it practicing medicine, Chelsea. They're just practicing.
Bree rings in and says she's a nursing student, and obviously she says people can develop allergies to anything at any time, and they can also become more or less severe with time. But she also says if Cool Beans developed an allergy to pineapple, she should be careful when eating other things like bananas, kiwi, and mango, and you should also be careful with latex, she says. All of these allergies are related and can be super dangerous.
Yeah, they did. The doctor did say that there's some kind of like thing, like she's talking about relations and all this kind of stuff. Yeah,
I do feel like if you're eating latex, you may have other problems. But that's maybe.
Well, you don't have to eat it sometimes for it to touch an intimate part of your body.
Hey, now.
Can't you be allergic to it anywhere?
Slow down.
Yeah, you can.
Doesn't have to be your mouth. Lena, by the way, backing you up, Cool Beans. I just got in my car to hear your discussion about allergies. In my mid-30s, I became allergic to pineapples out of the blue. Then the year I turned 43, it became a lot more fruits. So that I went to an allergist and found out it's called oral allergy syndrome. And I would eventually become allergic to all fruits.
Ooh, no.
And any vegetable that is a plant.
What?
Is there a vegetable that's not a plant?
I don't know what that means.
My allergic reaction to the fruits is usually itchy, tingly, mouth, lips, face, sometimes redness. I take a Benadryl, and in a couple of hours, I'm back to normal.
Well, that's not good.
I'm somebody who ate fruit every day, several times a day with my meals.
Yeah, because I only like fruit. I don't like vegetables.
Yeah. Well, turns out you're just going to be drinking nothing but water from here.
Oral allergy illness?
Oral allergy syndrome.
Oral.
And we know. Cool Beans.
I expect more out from you. Jeez, as a varsity letterman. Come on.
Cool Beans also, of course, couldn't smell for a year.
Right, which is why I questioned the pineapple thing to begin with, and she shot off at me.
I mean, the thing about that was that you didn't like look into it. Right? Wasn't that it?
Right, because I had all this other stuff going on with the onset of the asthma and the allergies that I just felt like the not smelling part was...
You had to prioritize?
Exactly.
And that was low on the list.
Exactly. Because I wanted to handle the breathing and all that kind of stuff. So now I have to take an allergy pill every day, and I take a nasal spray every day, and I have to do an asthma inhaler twice a day, morning and night.
Wow. It's only a matter of time before she becomes allergic to the show.
Right.
Like so many people have. So many. All right. Well, cool beans. I think that. See, and I feel like this was informative. This right. wasn't as bad as having a bug in the ear. There's actually something that you can maybe do about some of this.
Just, are we on a theme today of just fearful things?
Well, see, but I don't think so. I don't think that's what this is.
Thanks to Holden, who says, I'm allergic to work. As soon as I walk into the shop, my eyes get watery and I feel really tired. I wish there was a cure. I think a lot of us have that. Thank you, Holden.
Liz says she developed an allergy after having her child. Not a food allergy, but seasonal allergies that she never had before. Somehow there was a change in her body after having a kid. 844-4WW-SHOW. I know there's several people waiting. We will take those and we'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Can't imagine it because I didn't know it existed, but apparently a lot of people know you can develop an allergy at any point in your life. I had a friend whose daughter had to go to the ER this weekend because of an allergy to shellfish, and she's been a shellfish fan, been eating it for years. 844-4WW-SHOW.
The one that got me, though, was, and I don't remember his name, but the mushroom thing, where he said that, who was it, his daughter or his wife?
His wife, when she was in college.
Mm-hmm. Went into a coma for 2 weeks, he said, all of a sudden, by eating mushrooms on a pizza.
Yeah.
She'd been eating mushrooms her whole life. But, Jason, here's a tough one. I developed the dog dander allergy at 15 after having dogs my whole life. We had just gotten a new dog and had to give her up.
Mm-hmm.
That would suck.
844-4WW-SHOW. Let's talk to Big Mike. Big Mike, what's up?
Oh, what's going on, guys? I have a buddy that, same age as me, when he was about 30 years old, he just started to develop a tomato allergy. And it started like, man, it just kind of makes my mouth itch. So I'll just take a Benadryl and I'll be all right because I love tomatoes. Then it progressed to, I mean, if there was just a remnant of tomato on a sandwich and someone took the tomato off, it would make his tongue go numb. So he had to avoid tomatoes completely. Well, one day we're sitting at a Mexican restaurant, and they drop down the salsa. He takes a big old mouthful of it. I'm looking at him going, what the hell are you doing? He goes, oh, my tomato allergy went away. How about that? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, man, it just went away one day. And now he developed a gluten allergy. So no more tomato allergy. Now it's a gluten allergy.
Really?
So apparently you can get them, lose them, and then obtain something else.
It's like take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, I guess. You know, take a penny and get a quarter. I don't know what it is.
Right, because you're getting something different. Thanks for the call, man. 844-4WW-SHOW. Somebody else was saying that online. They can worsen over time or they can lessen over time.
By the way, there was an answer, Cool Beans, to the pineapple thing. Colette says that canned pineapple is cooked. You were asking that question. I didn't realize that, so I guess that's right. And somehow when they cook it, it takes out the chemical that would bother you if you were allergic to pineapple. So I guess that's why you can eat the canned pineapple. And speaking of Cool Beans, Chuck Diapers asking the question on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, I thought Cool Beans was also allergic to lanyards.
A commemorative lanyard that goes around your neck.
What's that word again?
Lanyard.
I don't think that's right.
I believe it's pronounced Lanyard Skinner. I believe there's an N in there. Lanyard.
Look, she's very excited about Timberlake. Let's not get on her about not being able to say Lanyard.
Look at my Lanyard.
Is that it? That's it.
Chelsea, what do you mean is that it? We're not passing judgment. We're listening to our friend talk about what she got for $500.
Lanyard.
So I don't think she's allergic to it, Chuck, but that's a great call.
She's Thank allergic you. To lanyards, but not Lanyards.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Crazy how we're learning about allergies and people who have developed them later in life. I always thought it was something like, you're born and you're sort of allergic to these things. And no, you can develop them at any time. And apparently they can go away at any time and their severity increases and decreases. It sounds like a party. 844-4WW-SHOW. I think Trent's got something for us. Trent, you're on with Woody Wilcox. What's up, man?
Yeah, developed an almond allergy at 32.
I'm now 39, and when it started, I was on a road trip up to Virginia to go to a concert and was eating raw almonds with my wife driving up there. Had never had problems with almonds before, loved them, always enjoyed them. As we're getting closer to the concert, my lips started tingling, throat started swelling up, my palms itched, so we stopped and grabbed Benadryl, and I didn't really think anything of it, and for a couple years, never even did anything about it. Just carried Benadryl with me everywhere I went. My parents and my family accidentally poisoned me just by offering me foods that had almond in it, not even thinking it, because for 32 years I'd eaten almonds.
Right.
And then just finally last year I went to a doctor, and it's an anaphylactic reaction, so I now carry an EpiPen with me everywhere I go. And I still have a problem when I go out to eat, remembering to ask about foods that don't normally have almonds in them, that somebody has created a bread that has almonds. Mm. And I take a bite of the bread, and it's an immediate reaction. As soon as I take a bite, my tongue starts feeling scratchy. So it's really scary to not know that something that you're ingesting has almonds in it until after the fact. And it's kind of a shocking realization of, oh, I really need to ask.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. That is interesting. And you always see the labels that say on certain products, like, this may have been
in contact with nuts.
Yeah, or like tree. Absolutely. There's a difference between peanuts and tree nuts.
And right.
Yeah, and I'm not allergic to any other nut other than almonds. So walnuts, pecans, everything, all the other tree nuts are fine. But there are, like, I go to a restaurant that serves baklava, and it's walnut baklava, but they use the same grinder as almonds.
Mm.
And even though it doesn't contain it, because the nut came in contact with the almond oil, I get a reaction from that.
That's, yeah.
And apparently something about the raw almonds have a higher concentration of the chemical that I'm allergic to. So it may have been just eating the raw almonds on that trip that triggered the reaction, and then once that triggered, now for the rest of my life I'm going to have to deal with it. They said that other allergies, you can take shots and over time develop a tolerance, but there's no smallest limit for nut allergies that they can give you without having an anaphylactic reaction, so they can't even treat it.
Craziness. Trent, we appreciate the story. 844-4WW-SHOW. Thanks to Richard, who sends me an instant message on Facebook. You guys are skipping over the most common one around the world. It actually happened to my wife, and you get an allergic reaction to certain things after ingesting wedding cake. It's amazing all the fun things she used to do that she doesn't do anymore.
That's hilarious.
Thanks for the note. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through. I think I know where he's going with that.
We've got a round of It Happened in Florida that we're going to kick off next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Three stories here, and we're going to share them with you real quick. Woody and I will share these three stories. They're all true, but they could have happened anywhere all over the world. You've got to spot the one that happened in Florida because, you know, Florida, it's the birthplace of everything strange in this country, so we, you know, tip our caps. Like what you do in Florida. Don't know how you consistently do it so much. But if you can spot the Florida story at 844-4WW-SHOW, and you can spot it first, you win. Woody's got story number one.
I've heard people say that we as a nation have become lazier and that we're not willing to do the hard work that it takes to get the job done. I got to tell you, sometimes I think those people are true. Like the story number one here, where a woman called 911 for the typical thing that you would call a police officer to come to your house for. She reported to the 911 operator that she had become stuck in her recliner. Specifically, she reported that a switch had come off her powered recliner and that she was stuck in the fully reclined position and needed help getting out of the recliner. Right? Who's with me? USA! 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 Now, Most people would say, well, why don't you just like roll off or jump out or sit up?
Well, I think there'd be others that would say, who cares? I mean, I feel like that's the definition of, you know, what you're describing of, you know, us becoming lazier is like, all right, so what?
What do you mean, so what? So I'm stuck in the fully reclined position. I'm just going to stay here.
Life is good.
Life
right.
is good.
I mean, how many times have we heard those stories about somebody who becomes attached to their toilet? Because they sat there for 2 years and never got up. All of a sudden, they were fused to the seat or to the couch. At least she's trying to get up. See what I'm saying? So I feel like that's a step forward, not a step back, which is how you initially presented it.
The officer did show up at her house and, quote, was able to retrieve the switch from the floor, properly fasten it to the chair, allowing the woman to resume her normal position and activity. I mean, right?
So I feel like we're moving in the right direction, not the wrong direction.
Is it in Florida where she's like, the button's all the way over there. I'm going to call 911.
But wanted to get up, didn't want to remain reclining like so many do. Story number two, I'm going to share the headline with you. You may want to sit down for this. Mountain lion breaks into home, lounges on couch, eats cat.
No.
Oh. A family is in mourning after an unwanted house guest ended in bloodshed. Woman returned to her home at 10:30 to find a mountain lion. Let me start that again. A woman returned to her home at 10:30 to find a mountain lion on the living room of the house that she shares with a roommate. The mountain lion looked right at her and licked his lips, and the roommate took off, calling police. It was terrifying. She believes that the mountain lion snuck in through a screen on an open window. Luckily, no humans were inside the home, but their house cat, Klondike, was trapped inside.
Oh, no. Poor Klondike. This is not funny, Chelsea. Why are you laughing?
It's not.
The mountain lion was sitting on the couch watching TV, and then they discovered he had also eaten Klondike.
Oh, no.
You're right. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about that.
Got my Netflix password and ate my cat. This dude's racking up HBO charges like I've never seen.
Right. By the way, they called the wildlife officers, is how it's phrased here, and they had trouble getting the mountain lion out of the house. Quoting, they shot beanbags at the windows, attempting to drive the mountain lion out for hours.
Wait.
What was that on the television?
Let that one roll around in your head for a second. So the wildlife officers show up and they shoot beanbags at the windows. The mountain lion's inside on the couch, digesting a cat and watching Family Feud. And for hours, that's what it says here, for hours, they shot beanbags at the windows.
I think they just wanted to shoot beanbags at the windows.
How long did you move on to plan B? Yeah. At what point are you like, meh? All right.
I've shot beanbags at the windows for an hour. I've got another hour in me. Sit back, relax. And that mountain lion's like, look at this fool.
Somebody's going to go back and get me some more beanbag rounds.
Y'all got another cat? Hours later, the mountain lion walked out the front door. Not kidding. That's how it ends. Was it Florida is my question for you at 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody's got the third and final.
Facebook is good for a couple of things, right? Finding and connecting with old friends and political discussions.
Mm.
It's such a good time on Facebook, especially when you bring up politics. I highly recommend it. Like the dude in story number three. He was friends with a buddy on Facebook, and they have differing views on the political spectrum. Well, what happens then? Arguments ensued, posting back and forth until the man in story number three showed up at his Facebook friend's house and shot him in the butt over a political argument the two had online on a Facebook page. Now, they don't know exactly what political topic caused such a fierce disagreement that caused the man to get into his car, drive over to his Facebook friend's house, and shoot him. But is this really that out of the ordinary anymore?
Did he shoot him with a beanbag or with a gun?
For hours, he shot out the windows with... No, he did not. Just once, just in the backside. Was it in Florida where he took the Facebook arguing just a little bit too far? Bill, all three stories actually happened. One of them went down in Florida. Can you tell us which one?
Story number one.
No, I'm sorry. Tennessee is where the woman called 911 because a switch had fallen off her powered recliner and she'd like to sit up and she needed the officer's help. Dickens?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with story number three.
Story number three. There you go.
Yes.
The argument on Facebook did happen online. However, the man did live in Tampa, Florida. I'm sorry. I'm jumping through the story trying to figure out exactly where he lived. Tampa, Florida.
And I guess if you live in Boulder, Colorado, especially if you have a cat named Klondike, according to the woman in the story, she now has decided she will close and lock all doors and windows when she leaves the house at night. To prevent a mountain lion from getting in and enjoying her Netflix account.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Wilcox, did you get a chance to sample any new beers this weekend?
I did, yeah. Several of the photos I posted on my Instagram from my little trip up to Cape Cod.
Anything at
Wilcox Stuff, by the way, if you're not following along.
Anything out of the ordinary? You know, sort of, for a while, beers have gone back more to normal. I think there was a period about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, it seemed like every beer was trying to get as weird as possible. They were either introducing different fruits and sometimes vegetables into beer that you wouldn't associate with beer. There was one that was made from the yeast of the brewer's beard. You remember that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. You know, I'm an IPA guy. They're right. All just IPAs.
Run-of-the-mill IPA. Mm-hmm. So would you, I saw something. There was two beers that I saw over the weekend that came out. One of them was a new craft beer made from a giant whale testicle that had been smoked over sheep dung. Does that sound like a palate cleanser for you? You'd be like, wow, I've had all these delicious IPAs. I'd like something a little bit different.
What?
A brewery in Iceland is producing a seasonal beer called Hvor. Sure, I'm saying that correctly.
That sounds right.
It's made with whale testicle that's been smoked in sheep's dung. And they say it tastes like a porter with a meaty aftertaste.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Hints of caramel and smoke and a meaty aftertaste of a porter.
Balls.
I feel like this whole thing is a sketch. People can say anything these days.
What do you mean they say?
Well, I mean, people are trying, everybody's trying to be different.
Balls.
How are you going to prove that if somebody could come up to you and say, how dare you say that it's... What is it again? Whale testicle?
Yes, it's a whale
testicle. Saying that nobody knows what a whale testicle tastes like? You're saying no one can prove what it is? Well, is that what you're saying?
They show people...
That's your question about it? How do I know it's real whale testicle?
I mean, how do I believe anything that they're saying?
Well, they say that it's steeped in Icelandic tradition. The giant whale testicle usually weighs between 15 to 18 pounds, and they get it from a company that's allowed to harvest the whales. And this is one of the parts that their ancestors used to use, and so they brewed a beer with it.
To me, those balls are perfect.
What are other What are other people doing with the whale testicle?
Eating it, Chelsea.
It's an Icelandic treasure.
Yes. As a part of a festival that happens this time of year, they celebrate the foods that their ancestors ate, like fermented shark, sour-cured whale fat, and, of course, whale testicles.
The texture of the balls is very easy to identify.
If whale testicles is not the name of your new band, you really...
I've handled dozens of balls.
Roy Orbison tribute band. I don't know why, but it is. That's the first thing that popped into my head. Roy Orbison.
I'm not squeezing the balls. I'm not rubbing them.
Why?
And then there was another beer that was specifically designed to increase your sex drive. Not made with whale testicles.
It's called alcohol.
Well, yeah, for some people that works, Chelsea, and some people it doesn't work.
What I think is happening is the balls are getting wet in the umpire's sack.
This is something new.
This particular beer is a pilsner that is used, they use watercress in it. And some people say that there are vitamins and minerals in watercress that after eating it, it increases your libido. And so what they have done is come up with this beer. It's only 4.5% alcohol that's supposed to, you know, lubricate the gears, so to speak. That's what they're coming out with. They're like, look, you need to increase the libido, or maybe somebody in your life, maybe increase their sex drive a little bit. You buy this beer, they drink a couple of them. Next thing you know, brown chicken, brown cow. Which one would you rather have? Your partner give you a beer that's made with whale testicle, or the one that says that your libido is low?
It just, I don't know if you said this, it just feels like they're, you know, they're running out of ideas trying to feel relevant. Just make a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anybody's out there that, got to try the whale testicle.
Right. We all know people who are like, yeah, what's it got in it? Tree bark? Dude, you haven't even heard of this beer, and I've had it. I had beer with whale testes in it. That's fantastic. I'm sure Shamu is very excited.
Round thing at the end.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like the tequila that's got the worm in it. Is there a little bit of that at the end that you're supposed to, you know, hold
it
between
your
teeth?
It kind of looks like a fat worm.
Right. I think I'm going to stick with Wilcox on this one. I'll have the regular IPA. Thanks.
Why would you go from blue ball into blue waffle?
It's a fair question, Chelsea.
Good call, John.
You asked that a long time ago, but I think it still stands.
I smell beef.
Right.
Hey, you want to sniff this real quick?
Do I have to go to Iceland to enjoy the testicle beer smoked in dung, which just sounds fantastic?
Yes, you do.
Hmm.
They're not going to be shipping it out. It's a limited release.
It's a shame.
Bon appetit.
Am I putting Jell-O in my body?
It's not a bad idea for beer, though.
Explosion in my mouth.
All right, Chelsea, dial it back a little bit.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we weren't here Thursday and Friday. We had a couple of days off, so we had a long weekend. And then a Friday night was that situation that unfolded in Seattle, which I'm guessing you've seen by now, where an airline employee stole one of his airline's planes and just started driving it around. Not a pilot. They described him as a ground services worker for Horizon Air, which is part of the Alaska Airlines family. And this guy just hopped in a 76-seat turboprop plane and just started flying around. And ultimately crashed, and he's no longer with us. But they did release the audio between he and the air traffic controllers. I don't know if you've heard that yet, but listen to the guy talking. If I can get my computer.
Horizon 2239, runway 16 strike, clear to land. Uh-oh.
I got a lot of people that care about me.
Stand by. Stand by.
Horizon 2239, runway 16 strike, clear to land.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
If you go too much further in that direction, I won't be able to hear you anymore.
All right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think? I'm going to land it, in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
It's chilling. The video's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook
chilling,
page.
Chilling, you say?
Yeah.
Why is it chilling?
How calm he is about it. I mean, he's talking about killing himself in the calmest of manners.
Is he? I wasn't sure he was talking about killing himself.
Well, when he says, I'm going to put it nose down and just call it a night. That's not how you land an airplane.
Well, he's not a pilot. Maybe he's using the wrong terminology. I mean, that is what he ended up doing. I don't know. At first, it sounds like he's just having fun. I'm going to do some barrel rolls. And I mean, you're right. He is very calm. I mean, I'd be sweating bullets if I was in the cockpit of a plane and had never flown a plane before, which, by the way, all indications are he never had. You may have seen the video because they released that, I think, a little bit earlier than they released the audio. So mm-hmm. It's out there. Is that up on the Facebook page?
Yeah. I grabbed one that shows they paired up the audio that you were just playing right there with the actual, because he's being chased by a couple of F-15s as well. They scrambled those because they weren't sure
what was happening.
Well, what the plan was with this plane.
Right. Initially, they were wondering, is this some sort of terror thing again? Mm-hmm. Which it wasn't. So he crashed it into a wooden area. I mean, I guess seemingly intentional, or I mean, the sheriff's office is saying they believe it was a suicide. But it's unusual and strange. And I guess when you're a ground worker at the airport, I guess you have access to that stuff. That seems a little bit.
But not just any ground worker has access to planes.
Well,
he worked as a part of a crew that would tow planes that needed to be overhauled or worked on and stuff like that. So he was not the guy driving, what do they call that, the tug up front. And he was, you know, sort of talking to ground control inside the cockpit. So he had some familiarization with the inside controls, but he'd never flown before.
Yeah, he said he learned it from like video games. And he actually did some fairly...
quite impressive.
Interesting moves, yeah. So you can see that if you haven't seen it yet. You won't find it anywhere else on the internet.
Right.
The Woody and Wilcox Facebook page is where you can find that. On a, I'm going to say happier note, thanks to Chuck Diapers ringing in on Twitter. You guys were talking earlier about that beer made out of whale testicles. At least if you were able to get your hands on some of that beer, it would probably be raining whale.
And now Woody and Wilcox sing It's Raining Whale.
It's raining whales. Hallelujah, it's raining whales.
That was Woody and Wilcox singing It's Raining Whale.
Whale. I'm not sure if that is a happier note.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What did we learn today on the Woody and Wilcox Show?
Nothing.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. We learned that while it's unusual to stop a Major League Baseball game because an umpire has a moth in his ear, it's not unheard of.
Something's going on here with Bruce Dreckman, the second base umpire. As Stevie Donahue is going to check him out. Oh, he's got a bug in his ear.
Yeah, that old thing.
If you haven't seen that, that video is up. We tweeted it out at Woody and Wilcox. It's also on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. It was 2 minutes of watching a man pull a moth out of another man's ear during a professional baseball game. It led to quite an interesting discussion. Thanks to everybody who chimed in on that. Stuff that you had gotten in your ear. Including the story that we heard from a dude who said an old man at their campground got a moth in his ear, and they took turns jabbing twigs into the dude's ear, trying to get it out. Oh, then we heard the story about the woman who had a June bug. Mm. It was her uncle or dad or cousin.
That one was bloody.
Oh, that was tough. That was tough. And that's not even mentioning the calls on the roach in the air. So you can find that on the podcast. Cool Beans also is tweeting out audio during the show. So at Woody and Wilcox there. We also had interesting discussions about strange allergies. Strange in the sense that maybe they came on late in life. One that was an allergy to mushrooms that came on late in life. And was it a 2-week coma?
Yeah.
Was that how that call went?
Yeah.
So you can hear that on the podcast as well. We found out that you better be careful leaving your doors unlocked. A mountain lion may come into your home, watch Netflix, and eat your cat. And I think that applies even if your cat's not named Klondike, but I'm not sure. Save all your what would the mountain lion do for a Klondike bar. We also got to hear that audio, and you heard that just a second ago, that pilot who stole, the guy who wasn't a pilot and stole the plane. Facebook page for that, at Woody and Wilcox, and on Twitter. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to find out what's weird out there on Craigslist. Feel free to send in something that you found on Craigslist. We'll use it on tomorrow's show. Intern Dave, is there anything you wanted to add to the show today?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.